Yeppe gave me almost the title for what I'm going to talk about from his 1909 quotation. So it's a kind of peculiar territory. If territory is understood as it has been defined several times by people, effectively on the lines of territory is a bounded space under the control of a group of people, perhaps a state, which brings together territory, sovereignty, the nation and the state together. If it's understood as that, I'm not surprised that you think that water complicates it, if you think that ice complicates it, and that it's perhaps not terribly useful for thinking about the questions we're grappling with here. But it seems to me that that definition is actually also not very helpful in thinking about territory on land, that simplistic definitions of territory are a problem for those of us that want to think about territory and contemporary territorial disputes and relations on land. So what that seems to buy into is this idea that territory is a simple concept that is simply complicated when it goes into practice, when we think about any particular kinds of territorial arrangements or situations and so on, and as this conference has talked about in terms of ice and water. But territory, for me at least, and I think I'm not alone in this, I think there's a number of people working on this kind of question, territory for me at least is a complicated concept, perhaps what political theorists tend to call an essentially contested concept, that is also complicated in each and every practice. So I've got a lot of sympathy, but I think that there's actually a lot of work on territory that might be more useful for thinking about the things that we're grappling with in this workshop. I don't mean to say that work on territory is no use to what we're doing, but nor do I think that we need to go kind of post-territory, which has been raised as a suggestion, or that we need to go beyond Westphalia or something along those lines. Now, I'm going to say a little bit about my own work on territory, but there's also a number of other things that people are doing that I think might be helpful for this kind of work. Let's only survey those very briefly. So there's the argument about what's been called the problem of methodological territorialism, although I think that would perhaps be better described as methodological boundedness, or even methodological territory as bounded spaceism, of the problem of thinking about territory as this kind of container bounded way of thinking, and then as soon as something moves over that boundary or that boundary becomes blurred, then we're moving beyond territory or we're moving beyond geography or something along those lines. So people like Neil Brenner, paper with Jessup, Jones and Brenner, thinking about the different ways we need to conceptualize territory, place, scale, and network in relation to understand socio-spatial processes rather than any one of those distinctly. Joe Painter, I'm not going to try and summarize Joe's work, but Joe trying to think about the relation between territory and network, and that has been sometimes described as a kind of dichotomy, and Joe's suggesting that it's actually a false dichotomy, and we need to think that relation in more creative ways. Or the calculative or cartographic production of space that somebody like Yeppe or Jeremy Crampton have been trying to develop in their work. Or the production of space that we have from Henri Lefebvre's work becoming a process of the production of territory. So Rhys Jones, in a book called Peoples, States, Territories, thinking about that. Neil Brenner and I have tried to develop the idea that we might think of Lefebvre as a theorist not just of state and of space, but of state space as territory. Saskia Sassen's recent work on what she calls the unbundling of territory, particularly in relation to things like land grabbing or states abrogating some of their rights over their land in order to gain financial benefit from that. But there's a much wider literature on land grabbing, so Philip Onditti has a recent book out with Verso on land grabbing. This complicates some of the ways we think unproblematically about territory in relation to land. And then finally, a whole set of different types of work that are thinking about what we might call the concept of terrain, or the kind of geomaterial, or the active sense of the geo in geopolitics. So the anthropologist Gaston Gordillo's work on terrain, Yeppe talked about the dynamic nature of many of these earth processes that we're thinking about, Catherine Youssef and Nigel Clark's work within geography, Jane Bennett's vibrant materialism work was just mentioned, Justina's point about the agency of nature. There's a lot of work thinking about those kinds of ideas and so on. But just briefly, I want to say something that comes out of my own work that I think might be helpful for some of the ways that we're trying to think about territory in relation to other than land areas. Territory for me is something that is obviously political and geographical, but can't simply be understood in those in a narrow sense. So I've tried to make the argument we need to understand territory as something that encompasses at least the economic, the strategic, the legal, and the technical. And there may well be others beyond that, but for me those open up an expanded sense of how we might think about politics that goes beyond merely thinking of territory as a kind of form of property, that goes beyond merely thinking about territory as something that is an object or an aim of warfare, to gain the territory, but also the war being fought on that territory, but brings in a whole set of the legal questions that people have been talking about, that sovereignty is merely one form of power, that there are many different forms of power relation that we can think about in terms of how they apply direct and rule over extensive land. So the way that people have been thinking about sovereignty as fragmented, as hybrid, as uncertain, as complex, and so on. But also the whole set of technical things about surveying, cartography, about energy extraction techniques, about resource management and so on. These are things that apply equally, it seems to me, to land as they do to the sea and to ice. Now the point with saying that kind of expanded sense of the way we think about territory is political and geographically certainly, but also as economic, as legal, strategic, as technical, is not to say that's a better definition of territory, a kind of ahistorical fixed definition of territory that happens to be better than the existing ways of defining it, but it's to say these are the kind of registers that we need to interrogate in order to understand how territory has been understood and practiced in different times and in different places. The other point that I want to stress is that land's territory is this idea of being fixed, static, and immutable, which has come up several times here, is really a very presentist way of thinking about the question of territory. The idea that territories on land had fixed boundaries and that those boundaries could not change through conquest or through punishment, through a peace treaty or something along those lines, is really something that the international system only tried to fix in the early 20th century. The idea that the political power was something that exercised their power exclusively throughout all of the lands that they covered, that's a slightly older heritage. But what you've found in international law in the 20th century is bringing these two things together. And this speaks to what James was talking about with the idea of territorial integrity. Really the territorial preservation, the fixity of territorial boundaries, and the sovereignty of a state over those, the area encompassed by those boundaries. Two quite distinct historical lineages that have come together at a certain point. One of the arguments I've tried to make in my work is you're actually seeing these being pulled apart increasingly today. Any number of instances of this, but just from very recent news, what's happened in Mali, what's happening at the moment in Nigeria, the Lebanon, Iraq, Syria kinds of issues around ISIS, what's happened in the Ukraine, certainly, going back a little further, Yugoslavia to Serbia to Kosovo, but even potentially in the United Kingdom with the potential for Scotland to break away, the territorial and sovereignty issues that will be arisen through there. So this idea that we've always had a fixed territorial preservation on land is actually a much more recent history than we often give it credit for. The third thing is about this idea of territory as a volume. Instead of thinking about this idea of the area, the flat, the planar, the cartographic way of conceptualizing territory, to take height and depth more seriously. Now, several people have said things that would speak about that, but for me the idea of the volumetric is interesting because it's both the objective measure, the volume, and the sense of a metric, a kind of a measurement, a calculative technique that might be applied to those kind of questions. Some of what Gavin said about resource extraction thinks about space in those different kinds of ways. Some of the first session on the legal was not using a cartographic two-dimensional map, but was using more like a cross-section of trying to take height and depth seriously around those questions. And the final thing that I'd say is about how territory as a word, a concept, and a practice has a very complicated history. I've tried to trace this in my own work, and the historical has come through several times in this in the presentations. But what I'd stress is it's not just that every single individual territory has a history, but that the very concept and practice of territory has a history. And that some recognition of that, some of which I've already hinted at, would hopefully get us out of some of the slightly ahistorical ways that we've described some of the concepts that we're talking about. Now, Westphalia has been mentioned as a problem several times. I want to make it clear why I think talking about the Westphalian system is a problem. It's not just that it's a problematic term and it's an ahistorical sort of shorthand for a particular kind of system, but I have as much of a problem with the counter-Westphalia narratives, the revisionist accounts, the myth of 1648 kind of literature, because I think what we're missing is why Westphalia was interesting. It's not interesting for the conventional reasons that we're told, but it's interesting because it's a resolution to a set of problems within the Holy Roman Empire. And effectively, the Westphalia Treaties acted as a constitution for the Holy Roman Empire. Now, what you had in that was not at all of a kind of absolute sovereignty within fixed territories that we tend to think is the Westphalian system. What you had was a hierarchical, relational sense of continuing the power of the emperor, but having these polities within the empire that had some kind of rights in relation to the centre, and that those rights were tied to territory, but it's not sovereignty in the Thomas Hobbes kind of sense of sovereignty, but it's a relational or a relative form of sovereignty that's actually not the supreme form of power that's being proposed at the time. One of the arguments I make in my historical work around territory, we tend to think of Newtonian absolute space and Hobbesian absolute sovereignty as the 17th century way of thinking about these things. My argument is actually Leibniz's relational understanding both of sovereignty and of space is actually much closer to the historical practice at that particular point in time. So this is the point. I think that I've learned a lot from work on the sea in thinking about territory on land. I'm learning a lot from this workshop about how people are conceptualizing ice that will be useful for my future work. What I want to suggest is that some of the most, I hope, interesting work on territory today is also helpful for thinking about the kind of questions that you're thinking. Not just my work, but the number of other people whose work I summarised very quickly. Now, I was going to say in rethinking territory, but actually the point I'm trying to make is that this way of engaging with these questions is actually an attempt to be more historically and contextually sensitive to the ways that territory was understood and practised at different times and in different places. So it's about this kind of more hopefully sophisticated, sensitive, appropriate grasp of territory that we then try and think about in relation to the questions we've got here. So Phil's second question for this session, if state notions of territory that assume temporal stability, fixed borders and distinct boundaries between land and sea, if that's the way we define territory, I'm not at all surprised that people are going to find it problematic to think about ice law. But that's not, I think, where most work, or even most interesting work, around the questions of territory actually is today. Thank you.